Autobot Underpants.
Hey everybody, welcome to Robot Underpants. This is Langley.
How's it going?
Eric Rice is here.
Go on.
Eric Rice is here from the wall.
What's up?
Starman Michael Gaines is here.
Welcome to Android Underwear.
Welcome back, my friends, to the pants that have short ends. Android wear. It's not underwear. What is it?
But it could be.
It could be. It probably will be.
Marcus will be.
I was checking out that Moto watch. That was actually kind of cool.
I saw the trailer for the. I don't know why we're getting right into this. I don't really care. I don't really give a crap about the Android Wear. I saw the short trailer showed a bunch of hipsters having fun and like a couple of flashes of a really big watch on someone's arm. That was a trend in watches
for a little bit.
I guess
Fossil was notorious for coming out with these just gigantic size watches.
Mm-hmm.
But the order in which I saw the news today was I saw the Moto X, and then I saw Android Wear. I'm like, okay, whatever. I didn't really care about the Android Wear, but the Moto X actually looked kind of good. They were slowly getting to a place. It's just, let's hurry up and get the fashion into gear. What I want to know is what it does to the hoodie crowd when they're sitting around wearing watches and almost stylish watches. Will they start to replace like a shirt or two? Step it up a bit? I don't know.
No. That's why they showed a bunch of hipsters wearing the big-ass watch.
Yeah. Wear it around your neck.
I ordered a Pebble 100 years ago. I'm still waiting for it. So I actually, first it was supposed to be here the end of February. Then it got back ordered, and they said, well, 6 to 8 weeks from when you ordered it. 8 weeks will be this coming Friday. I emailed them yesterday and said, look, is this going to be here this Friday? Is it going to ship this Friday? Because yeah. I'm starting to see a bunch of other smartwatches coming out, and now I'm getting less interested in yours. So what the F? And I got like a, we got your email. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. Bullshit. So we'll see what happens with that.
Your call is important to us.
Please stay on the line for 37 more days.
Your email will be answered in the order in which you'll receive. I love it when you have those unsubscribe links for newsletters, and it's like, please allow 6 to 8 days for unsubscribe. What?
Oh, wow.
Deleted a database flag. Come on.
Yeah.
So these smartwatches, what makes them so damn smart? When they depend on the phone.
Let's hear your theory about the dumb terminal.
That's exactly what this thing is. It's a VT. It's a pretty VT 100.
Yeah.
Essentially, because
calculator watch.
I was watching this. I was watching Motorola's stupid hangout thing earlier today. Their live stream, which they answered none of the important questions, none. Although we did get the big answer about whether or not you could wear it on your right wrist or your left wrist.
Oh, yeah, because it flip.
They said we can't tell you what the price is. We can't tell you how to charge it. We can't tell you. I mean, they couldn't tell us anything. So I'm like, okay, so I want to know how dependent this thing is on another phone. Like, does it do Wi-Fi?
Well, I think they're all kind of like that. I mean, you know, even the Pebble is Bluetooth.
Well,
but from what I can tell is you can set it. There's like a bunch of settings that you can be like, look, I want to get these notifications on my watch. I want to get these notifications. I don't want to get those. I want to get this. So,
well, hold on. It's not that difficult to put that much technology in a watch. I mean, remember the iPod Nano Generation 37 that was a perfect square with a screen, and then people made aftermarket bands, and it actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not difficult to make it stand alone. And then if there happens to be a little syncing, even if it's over Bluetooth to your phone for your appointments and stuff, well, cool.
Yeah.
But it's
not
smart.
Well, smart. Smart is not.
It's
smart's just a descriptor for it. It does more than its single use thing.
It's slightly.
It's like a feature phone and a smartphone.
It's slightly dumber than your smartphone. I guess.
I don't know. I haven't worn a watch in like 15 years. So.
I haven't either.
I love it.
Yeah. Hey, what's the time?
12:19. You know how I know that? I looked at the upper right-hand corner of my computer monitor.
Right over there.
19 minutes past top of the hour.
It's time.
I got a beautiful Swiss face Timex with a custom, and I got a shout out to these guys because they're amazing. Crown and Buckle. They actually just sell watch straps. And occasionally they'll take like a classic Rolex or something like that and put a new strap on it. So you can actually customize and make your own bespoke watch. They you sell, can use whatever watch face you want. So
they sell strap-ons. They're
really, really cool.
Nice.
Good looking stuff. So now I have a nice gray leather watch with a beautiful Swiss band. It's nothing I've ever seen in a store, so I just built my own.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that this thing is going to do well because you've got one problem, which is the price.
What are we talking about now?
Well, we don't know how much the price is going to be, but you know it's going to be at least $200.
Is this the Android, the Motorola, or is that the same thing?
Throwing away money, though.
Yeah, but how many people
bucks for a watch? First of all, watches cost $200.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to understand where it fits. You go to like a store, and the stuff that's in the aisle in those little kiosks are anywhere from like $20 to $80. If it's under $100, that's a cheap ass watch. Then you start getting up the Casio G-Shock watches, which are hugely popular. Those are about mid-100 to 50. I have a G-Shock that I think might have been like 220.
People drop good money on watches, sure.
They can go way up there. And then probably a solid watch that's a good watch. You have it. You carry it up your ass for your children kind of deal. $500-$600.
You see this watch.
I don't know. Anybody spends $500-$600 on a watch.
And then there's the real watches, the Breitling.
5 years.
All those that are $6,000, $10,000, $20,000 on up.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, if you go to Watchismo, you can see like $500,000 watches. You know what I mean?
Well, and some of those Tokyo Flash watches are like $100, $150 maybe, $200 max. So $200 for a thing on your wrist, which is pretty much where people are. This is where you kind of have to know all the markets and know what they do. I mean, watches cost a certain thing. It's like purses. I'm sure somebody out there has no clue how much purses cost. And they're probably like, I guess I can get a purse for like $50.
As guys, you know, we complain about that sort of thing. But you talk to any women and they'll be like, yeah, like $300 for a pair of shoes is nothing. And you're like, what? $50 for shoes. What are you talking about? You know?
My point being is that it seems like a lot of money for something which is not going to be anything more than a minor.
I get it. Our buddy Watley Dude was doing a review of the Pebble, and that's what kind of got me interested because I trust his opinion on it. And he had the initial Pebble. Not there's like the new Pebble Steel is the new one, I guess, or something. And
which looks really nice.
It does look really nice. That's the one I ordered, and I mean, you know, it's more than $200, less than five.
You also got to think of how people are they going to find the attractiveness of a watch? Because you know, I think it's not unreasonable to go look. People that give a crap how they look, they're going to have like a dress watch and a casual watch. Usually, one's leather and one's metal.
Yeah.
Are they going to look at it and go, hey, this actually doesn't look like a goofy little calculator watch that we all wore in the 80s?
Yeah.
And there's some style and panache to it. That Moto watch was not terrible. It might have been a bit large, you know.
No.
There's all that. I used to wear watches all the time. I have one of those Nixon watches that's kind of the Dick Tracy thing. I really liked wearing it. The problem with that one was battery life. And you're going to run into that with smartwatches too. The Pebble Steel is you get 5 days out of it, depending on what you know how much you're using it.
Does the Pebble require another device to run?
Yeah, it all runs off of your phone. You know, it all does that stuff. It but like I said, it lets you go through and say, send me ads from Twitter. Send me text messages from whatever. Give me whatever. You can pick and choose what you want to give you, and there are different apps for it.
There's only one genuine things. Problem that I think exists with the smartwatch is the charging part of it.
But that's what I said. Like, this one will give you 5 days.
Know the last time I've had a watch that died.
Yeah.
And unlike your phone, you know, you get in your car, you throw it in the dash, you throw it in a cup holder, bam, it's right there.
I agree.
You're on your desk, like right here. I got my other laptop next to me. My phone is plugged into it because stupid app was draining my battery. I'm like 20%.
I agree.
I'm not taking off your watch and doing all of that. That takes a little bit of a different thing than what you would normally do. Watches are very much a set it and forget it thing. I'm actually going to forget it. I'm just going to be like, crap, where's my watch? Where did I plug it in? Yeah.
The other problem from a developer's point of view is that already people are complaining about fragmentation. in the end.
No.
Because
really?
Now you've got the Samsung issue because the Android Wear API won't work directly with Samsung's API. And now it just becomes a big giant mess. Google Glass's API won't work with Wear. Wear won't work with Glass. Glass won't work with Samsung. Samsung won't work with Android Wear. Oh. It's a disaster.
But who's wearing Glass? Not Robert Scoble anymore.
Not Larry Page.
Not Larry Page.
This is the big problem.
Not Edward Snowden.
The Android is that, it's good and everything, but
I support
so many people and
yeah,
it just doesn't work.
I mean, this is why I never put anything into Android. I just don't think it's gonna. They're gonna try like hell, but it's just gonna be this. It's always gonna be a second class citizen. I mean, I'm not saying Pebble's gonna be the leading. In fact, I was saying like, yeah, you know, Pebble looks great. It's got all this stuff. It does whatever. You can switch out the faces. You can buy get a download app, stick them on, or whatever. In 2 years, Apple or somebody's going to come up with something that's like, that's really how it should work. And this is going to look like a Nokia. You know, it's going to be like,
The interesting thing about this whole thing is that they never said whether or not there's even going to be iOS support for it at all. Because if it's just coming over Bluetooth is just data. It's not there's such a thing as Android Bluetooth.
Are you talking about the Moto watch? Hello, Moto.
So they could conceivably support it over iOS.
Yeah.
Was there anything major in the commercial that made it so you couldn't live without this, aside from opening your garage door with your voice? Nope.
No, that was the thing. Oh. That's the thing about the commercial is that there was nothing there that said, I couldn't do that with my phone. Or I couldn't.
This is the thing.
Who wants to say, okay, Google, open my garage? Fuck you.
This is the thing. I mean, none of these things you can do are things you can't do without your phone. I mean, you can do with your phone without the watch. And this is what I was getting at. Like, Watley dude was saying, look, yeah, I can do all this with my phone, but it's also nice to just, like, be like, oh, I got a thing. I look at my watch. Like, somebody texted me. Whatever. That's cool. I got an email. Whatever.
Well,
and he's like, you know what? He's like, he was skeptical, too. And he said, you know what? I actually really like it. I like to not have to dig my phone out of my pocket, or maybe you don't hear it or you don't see it when it's in your pocket, and then you get it a little more.
But there was the one shot of the guy on the bus who's like talking into his phone.
Yeah,
he intentionally did it so like nobody looked at him while he was doing that.
Yeah,
that doesn't really happen.
No,
you're talking into your watch. Look, people are going to look at you.
Like I said, the whole thing for this Google Wear thing.
10 o'clock. What did you say to me?
Yeah, that whole commercial was just silly. It just showed a bunch of hipsters having fun. It didn't show.
However,
much.
You know.
Hey, what? Oh my God! There's a jellyfish on the beach. No. We wouldn't figure that out on our own. You know that? Yeah.
You don't know traffic condition. Right?
Fine.
Suddenly,
yeah, get it. Whatever.
We'll just go to Zuma Beach instead, right?
There's sharks.
I'm not opposed to the concept, but certainly people aren't going to rage against the watch. You know why? Because probably it's under your cuff, your hands in your pocket, whatever.
Yeah, you're not going to get punched.
You know, they made a big deal with Google Glass being like, oh, they're teaming up with Warby Parker. Well, okay, that's fine. But then you actually have to find Warby Parker's frames attractive. And I'm sorry, I'm not ready to go back and revisit 1987 again.
With what? With a swatch? Oh, wait, what?
No, with their style of glass.
I know what you mean.
It would be here's what I'll say. I'm skeptical about, but here's what I do like about it. I do appreciate the extra convenience. I just think that the cost may be a little too high for what I consider to be nothing more than a dumb terminal. If the thing had Wi-Fi in it, if I knew that it had Wi-Fi in it and it could work with that, like I don't have to have my phone with me. I can leave my phone here and I can go out to the backyard and the damn thing will still work because it's on my Wi-Fi's network. Then I would feel a little more.
I can't even process that. I never go anywhere. I have too many people around me that don't answer their phones because they never have them even in the same building. And I'm like, well, it's your telephone. I know how to operate smoothly with the phone and I'm not looking at it.
Yeah, I don't go anywhere without my phone. I feel weird if I don't.
Plus, being a dude, it slides into your pocket. So we really have no excuse not to have a phone. Yeah,
but you're almost proving my point is that we're always with our phone. So why do you have to have this thing?
I will give a little
bit. You don't have to. It's definitely a convenience. It's a novelty-ish kind of thing at this point. But, I said the same thing about Twitter when it came out. Why do I need this?
Well, I know. I will give a little bit of leeway to the people who said originally, because this was a big talking point with glasses, I don't have to take my phone out of my pocket. I'm just like, oh, I know. Poor first worlder. But I got my watch built, and I'm like, it was actually a little nice just to, glance down at my wrist and see what time it is.
Sure.
No, I'm not in front of a computer 24/7. So, hey, what time is it? Boom. Yeah, and Matt was asking me the time every 5 seconds.
What's the time?
The custom faces, I'm sure, are going to be amazing. I'm sure people are going to be able to make, like, you think that watch that is several $1,000 that shows you where like the planets are on the watch. Yeah, somebody's going to make that in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, there are a bunch of abs, bunch of faces for the Pebble. I don't know what's
but
for
there's
the
there's
thing.
A certain mechanical part of the. I think part of the appeal of those watches. Well, I certainly can respect their engineering, and there's a mechanical beauty with them. They're just too over the top in design. I'm a very simplistic watch design.
You can put a simple face on it.
Yeah, but you can't do that with a bright
look. You know what? It's for people that like gadgets, people like things. You know, you like your watches, whatever. You can get your $1 million, $5,000, whatever Watchismo watch, and it'll look awesome and it'll be cool. You can do this, and it'll be the kind of in the same place. So whatever, it won't cost that much. But it's you could make the same excuse for: do I really need a smartphone, or do I need to get a flip phone? It does the same thing. I make phone calls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can sit here all day and do this stuff.
Well, so, you could say that I don't need a smartphone, and I'm fine. Then just go ahead and try and send a text message using your number pad.
Well, you can.
You can.
But
it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing, though. It's like I can pull my pocket out of my phone and look at whatever's going on, or I can look at my watch. Or I can hit a bunch of numbers to send text.
Here's who's going to win in the smart watch space: all the fitness trackers.
Mm-hmm. So that
I have a Garmin watch thing, and it keeps track of, and it also syncs up too, because I have a heart rate monitor that goes along with it, and then I have a GPS thing that clips to my shoe. It's an armband. It's just a simple watch, and it's got time and all of that, and activity. That's the biggest part of having a smart device with you. You've got your music with you. You've got your run keeper. You can track your food. All of that is reasons that you have a device with you.
And I know that you feel, Eric, that the whole thing is kind of – a lot of tech stuff is going towards the health nutrition area, right?
It's a perfect
fit, because that's more of a quantified self thing, not necessarily. We have data. We know what to do with it. Look at what we've done with DNA. Sure. Everybody is always trying to get into shape and lose weight. That will never, ever go away.
It also kind of makes sense in the whole arena of, hey, everybody look at me taking pictures. I want to look good. What's the next step?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But to get there, you have to measure your shit.
Exactly.
You have to measure your heart rate. You've got to measure your activity. Look at all the Jawbones and the Nike Fuel Bands and Body Medias and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense on your wrist. You can wear it. And no one's going to freak out on you.
Mm-hmm.
Start putting that on your head.
Yeah. So even today, Robert Scoble was bashing the glass. Who was
right?
Robert Scoble in the shower wearing his glass? Oh my god, I'm never gonna take it off. That guy,
he wasn't bashing, he was kind of complaining that the CEOs of Google weren't wearing it at a conference.
Yeah, but he's been kind of all right, not bashing necessarily, but not supporting it either. I mean, he's been doing that for a little while now. He's posted something not too long ago about how, and previously it had been like, oh my god, it's so awesome, Google Glass. Oh my god, I'm never going to take it off. I'm going to stick my head up my own ass with it. But,
He gets impatient. He was complaining that a year out, we still don't see any major progress in it.
Yeah. Well, this is true. But he makes good points. And he's talking about Google does this thing where they start stuff and they never finish it. That does happen.
Look busy.
Yeah.
Look busy. Jesus is coming.
Yeah, exactly. And it happened with a lot of things. So, it's... It's still not available to everybody, and it's still kind of one trick pony. So, All right. Well, speaking of things you have but don't need, tell us about your drone, Eric.
Oh yeah, I got a drone for my birthday.
And then I believe they're called quadcopters.
Yeah, I know some people get tattooed.
It's not a drone. Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of the quadcopters, and it's been quite fun learning how to fly it, try not to crash into things, animals, people, trees. Yeah. Aircraft. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's the Phantom drone, Phantom 1. They have a whole bunch of Phantom 1, Phantom 2, Phantom Vision. It has a little GoPro mount on it, so that's pretty spectacular. And I've just been practicing, learning how to fly. The weather, of course, it's been raining half the time, so it's like, happy birthday, here's a drone, and it's raining.
Have you yet found the thing in your head that's like, let's see what it does in the rain, just to see what it does?
No.
I don't know. I had that thought the other day. I was like, I kind of want to
maybe
see
if it was a light drizzle, I'm not going to panic.
Let's
but,
see what happens.
You know, yeah, I mean, I think I tweeted some pictures of it. But no, I'm not going to do that. Although I might experiment with building float landing pads for it. You get like a pool noodle, those like long foam things, and you cut them. And then you like put twist ties around them and you've got floats. So, because, you know, lots of water around here and a lot of people that do water sports and stuff. And it's like, okay, if I need to land on water, can I do this without tipping over? So they got to be kind of long.
It's a pretty hefty device. It actually looks pretty sturdy when you're flying it up there. The wind doesn't seem to bounce around too much.
Yeah, it stabilizes. It's kind of cool. So
it's one of the better ones.
Yeah. There's lots of crazy science behind it. You're squarely in the camp of, like, RC helicopters and cars and planes and stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those arenas that it's kind of up and coming. A lot of when I was in LA, the LA Robotics Club had a branch of quadcopter guys, and they were building their own, you know, programming Arduinos and whatever, and putting the engines on there and everything else. And you know, they were doing that stuff, and it's a whole thing. We went to a couple of RC shops, and they didn't have a lot to do with quads, and I was a little bit surprised, but kind of not, I guess. Maybe I've just been in those circles or whatever, but it's definitely something that's you know, it's right there with all that stuff, and it's really cool. I mean,
yeah,
you know, putting the GoPro on there, I saw some of the videos you shot. They're awesome. I mean, it looks great.
Yeah, I haven't found any videos that I'm happy with sharing just quite yet.
Yeah. Still, I mean, it's, you know, it's nice and clear. It's up there. It's way up there. You're seeing some stuff. You know,
I don't have any stabilization for a video yet. And that's actually a huge old friend of mine did a great video at Burning Man.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Codell from Eddie.com. He had a lot of people saw the video. So it's just like there's a lot of beautiful ones. And basically, same drone, just had a gimbal to stabilize the camera and a GoPro, and that's it. So everybody can do this. I think where the trick is and the magic is really mastering the flight. You know, you can bank pretty hard and you can go forward and you can rotate in place, because the drone, it is very creepy. I actually want to do some off-road videos with it. Just go and fly the drone someplace and just have it hover over the trail, and it'll just stay there on its own. It stabilizes, and then drive under it back and forth a few times. You know, get some air, right?
You did a couple of pretty nice videos where like the car was coming up the driveway and you managed to like do the little twist, and it looked like it could be a car.
Panic because when that car was coming up the driveway, I'm like, oh god, what if the drone's invisible? Get up. And it's I accidentally made an action shot, but no, I think it's actually really cool for video and things like that. Naturally, people will do it for nefarious things. Who was it in San Francisco? Diane Feinstein, I believe, really didn't have an opinion about drones and quadcopters and things like that until somebody started buzzing around her bedroom windows in San Francisco with one. And, oh, that's different.
Yeah, I know. It always happens that way, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, you want to – we're going to stop pirating, but wait a minute. How am I going to get songs on my iPod? What?
There was a article. Where did I – I don't remember where I saw it. Something about how if it wasn't for piracy, a lot of things that we have today wouldn't have happened.
Of course.
Oh, where was it?
Lawrence Lessig wrote a book some years ago about it, and it talked about how all the major industries, cable television, motion pictures, everything was founded based on piracy. Motion picture, everybody was trying to get away from Edison and his, you know, he was trying to choke hold everybody. So everybody came out to the West Coast and started motion picture businesses. Free Culture is the name of the book, and it's by Lawrence Lessig.
Mm-hmm.
That talks a lot about it. There's audio versions. The reason that it's so fresh in my mind is I've always been interested in that, but I also read a few chapters in the audiobook.
Wow. All right. Well, that's fun. You know, I don't know. What else is fun? Flappy Bird's coming back to the App Store.
Oh,
yeah. Who cares? I never played it before. Is it the same guy? I don't know. Yeah,
Dong Nguyen. Yep.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's like, oh, yeah, $150,000 a day? Yeah, I can go back to that, I guess.
Not yet.
What else has happened? Angry Birds in World of Warcraft? What's that?
Well, some guy at Warcraft decided to make a comment about it. People are like,
they're trying to get them together. Oh, yeah.
Angry Birds has been done with everything else. I look at it from the Angry Birds franchise side of the house and from the Warcraft side of the house. Okay, cool for Warcraft, but Angry Birds, Star Wars was pretty awesome. Is Warcraft big enough for people to be like, oh, wow, or do they just sell to the fandom and call it a day?
I personally thought that Angry Birds was out a year or two ago. I don't see a single person talking about it.
Well,
you mean out as in like nobody gives a shit?
Like, how many people talk about solitaire?
Well, nobody.
Exactly. Does everybody play solitaire?
Does it happen in World of Warcraft?
About Flappy Bird.
Or
yeah.
Tetris. Wait, what did you say?
Flappy Bird.
No, I said people are talking about Flappy Bird. No.
Yeah, it's because Flappy Bird was a big deal. It was like at the top of its game, and the dude was like, ah, no more. And then, you know.
Maybe it has some kid. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's kids like my nephew plays Angry Birds. Maybe it still has appeal, but I beat the game a while ago, and I just went, all right, I'm done with this.
Yeah, Angry Birds was fun, though, and I think it was really well done, especially the Star Wars one. Tiny Wings, though, can go, in particular, straight to hell.
I don't even know what that is.
Don't eat Tiny Wings. It's basically like the momentum bird. It's all this bird crap. Not cool.
It's all about the birds. Put a bird on it. Portlandia returns.
Yeah.
Speaking of putting a bird on it.
It's, yeah. Well, there are a couple episodes.
That was such the happiest accident you've had all night.
What's that?
That segue was the happiest accident.
Oh, that was no accident, my friend. It's not like I crashed into a beat truck.
Hey!
Is it Beats?
Is it Beats? Is it Beats?
My podcast is making me just red all over.
Is it Beats? It's Beats. Portlandia, I think there are a couple of episodes into this season already, but the premiere, you should go to the IFC channel and watch it because that one whole thing about the Beats is pretty funny.
Steve Buscemi is hilarious.
He's funny. A couple of other people you'll recognize, of course.
Can never get enough of Steve Buscemi. And since Boardwalk Empire's only got one more season, when they finally get us back, we got to get him someplace. And then Jeff Goldblum, of course, my spirit actor.
Go ahead, do it.
I can't do it, Jeff Goldblum. I don't see it.
You do it when you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So, Star Wars Angry Birds, whatever. We got Star Wars news. What's the Star Wars news?
Well, they start filming in May.
Why don't you wait till I throw to you before you start coughing?
Sorry. It's not like I have much control over this.
Oh, wait. Go on.
They start filming in May, and they said that a trio of familiar faces will be back on the screen.
That's a surprise.
Yeah.
So
they also mentioned that it's going to take place 30 years into the future. Hey, that was a stretch, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
Because Return of the... They're like, this takes place. This was the most... I couldn't believe people were freaking out and resharing this news like it was a thing.
I know.
It was almost onion-worthy. Episode 7 takes place 30 years after Return of the Jedi, Episode 6.
Which happened to be
31 years ago. It'll be 32 years when this comes out. What? Gee, I hope they'll be able to find 30-year progressed.
I hope they have enough makeup to make Harrison Ford look 30 years older.
That special effects department's going to get it worked.
How are they going to make Carrie Fisher look 30 years older than she was in 1987?
CG, man. That's it. I don't...
If they do CGI, maybe they'll make her look better. You know. Yeah, well, they start...
Everybody has to look better if it's only 30 years. I mean, you know.
They don't have to look better. You're right. It's not about them. There's going to be new faces and old faces. Maybe those three old faces are R2-D2, C-3PO, and Yoda. cartoon.
No, actually, you just throw hoods on those guys. I mean, come on. Just,
you're right.
Boom. For anybody who's watching the stream, look at this. Boom. Look at me. Now, and wait. In 30 years, I could do this again, and it would look epic. It would be like, oh, Sage, tell me some
the,
shit.
The gray will be a little more on the bottom, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be like a Greybeard from Skyrim. Teaching you how to Fustro Da.
You could be.
I kind of like this one. A little. Utini.
Utini.
Ooby dooby.
I just got an eye roll.
You got a bunch of them in my head. Yeah, well, you know, it starts filming in May, I guess. A couple months from now, they start filming. We won't know anything until next year, so whatever. It's fine. I don't want to know anything. Yeah. There was a thing that was in, what did I see? Some kids' magazine. Boys Life had a page that said there was going to be, because Disney owns Marvel and Disney owns Star Wars now, mm-hmm. that there was going to be a crossover, and there was a spoiler that Tony Stark in a little hidden thing invents R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Oh, please.
In the new episode. There was that. It was turned out later that it was actually an early...
and a Dalek.
April Fool's thing.
And they show up on the Starship Enterprise.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow.
Starboard bow.
Starboard bow.
Starboard bow, Jim.
Scrape them off, Jim. Hey, who's got Ghostbusters news?
You do.
I do.
Nope.
Harold Ramis is still dead. and in fact, if it wasn't for him dying, we wouldn't have known that they were still kind of working on Ghostbusters 3. However, now it looks like Ivan Reitman is no longer going to have anything to do with it. So that's this week. Next week, who knows?
Perhaps next week.
You know, at the rate that this is going, we might be able to get Dan Aykroyd on the show to talk about it because he's just. I'll talk to anybody about Ghostbusters.
Maybe we'll get a free bottle of Crystal Skull Vodka.
We might be able to get that out of it. Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
Look, we'll. Oh, wait, do we have to pay him? I don't know, whatever. Yeah, there's a script. I don't know. We heard that they were going to rewrite it because Ramis was supposed to be in it. I don't know. Do we really even care? Do we want to see it at this point? It's going to be such a mess.
Well, I don't know. I don't know anybody who's working on it, like really concrete. Who knows? They could do it right.
Really? How?
If somebody said to you in 1982 that Harold Ramis was working on a movie about ghosts, would you really think that it would work?
No. Yeah, fine, whatever. I'd be like, okay, let's see what he comes up with. But at this point, it's like, we've heard so much about it. Now he's dead. Bill Murray doesn't want anything to do with it. It's just Dan Aykroyd. I mean, Ivan Reitman pulling it out, whatever. I don't know what he's doing. Is there any way, really? This is such a... clusterfuck at this point. Could it be?
Hey, do you think J.J. Abrams can pull off a Star Trek movie?
Yeah, but it hasn't been a Star Trek or Star Wars movie.
Both now at this point.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a
crossover.
It didn't.
He's done
there wasn't
Wars,
such a clusterfuck about that at any point that it was like, oh, maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. You know, it's just.
And you know what it means that we'll he's with him doing Star Trek and now Star Wars combined.
Dun, dun, dun.
It means Half-Life 3 confirmed.
It means lens flare in Star Wars.
Yes. People are threatening to call him Jar Jar if he screws up episode 7.
No!
Jar Jar Abrams.
You and some mean people gotta die.
Cautiously optimistic. We'll see. No, it could totally suck.
I don't think it will. I think the new Star Wars will not suck.
No. Ghostbusters.
Oh, it'll suck. It'll suck. With this much speculation and bouncing around, it's not gonna be good. They're gonna end up cranking something out because they feel like they have to. It's just gonna be bad. It's gonna be Dan Aykroyd pooping something out. That's it. Marvel wants to put out 3 to 4 movies per year.
You're right there?
No. This is terrible. I mean, you know what? Actually, that's fine. I think they can do it. There's enough Marvel titles. There's enough characters.
Yeah, I mean, you could always redo Batman about 12 more times.
That's not Marvel.
That whatever.
That's
same
DC.
Difference. Let the hate mail come in. Did you just say same difference, Marvel?
That's right. Send your emails to at Eric Rice on Twitter.
Superhero stuff. Whatever.
Well,
you can replace Batman with your favorite Marvel superhero and make it 12 more times.
Just say Spider-Man. That's about it.
You can redo Spider-Man 12 more times. See?
Yeah, as long as they don't keep remaking Spider-Man, we're fine. Look, there's a million Marvel comics out there and characters that you can do stuff with. Sure. It doesn't have to always be the Avengers or Spider-Man. You know,
but it probably will be.
Moon Knight. They're going to do Ant-Man. Why do we want to see an Ant-Man movie? Who the fuck knows?
I want to see Too Much Coffee Man superhero movie.
Well, that's a whole other, that's getting into like Mystery Men territory there.
I got to meet the guy who made that. It was such a trip. I saw him at the Portland Comic Con.
This is the best one?
Yeah, I'm just walking by and I see that guy. I'm like, "Oh shit, that cartoon up there on the wall looks like Too Much Coffee Man." And I look and it's like Too Much Coffee Man. I'm like, holy shit, my wife were hella into you when we got married, which was like a million years ago.
I thought you meant
And yeah, sure. I'm like, I'm a huge fan from back in the day. This is great. I'm glad to still see you doing your thing. So yeah, Too Much Coffee Man guy's still doing this thing.
I thought you meant Mystery Man, but yeah, okay.
No, it's like a legit indie kind of thing.
Oh yeah, I mean, remember Milk and Cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these guys are still around. When are we going to see that movie? They're making a Peanuts movie now, because only a matter of time before they turn Peanuts into CG. So we got
and
that.
It's CG, but part of it looked like really authentic. Like, yeah, I don't know the texturing. Might bother me, but I'm like, but they really got the animations down.
They didn't do it total CG. They did it a little bit between like South Park and CG. Mm-hmm. It's like a little bit of depth to it, but not a whole lot. Yeah, it might be.
Yeah,
right.
But Charlie Brown's head is still as pretty. Shiny.
Okay, there. Who wants to see Fargo on the FX network? Because that's happening.
Miniseries?
No, just a series.
Hmm.
An FX original series. You say but it's got
cyborg cops in it.
No, there are not. There are none of those. Martin Freeman is in it though. Billy Bob Thornton is in it.
Mm.
Oh, I'm interested now, right?
Nope.
You keep stacking up the cool actors, yeah.
Let's see. Okay, there. Let's see who else is in it then. I watched the trailer. There are some names and faces you recognize. Let's see here. I'll look it up. Billy Bob Thornton, Martin Freeman, Colin Hanks, Bob Odenkirk, who you know from the Breaking Bads.
Yeah. Well, I don't know
and Mr.
him from
Show.
Breaking Bad, but from other stuff, Mr. Show.
Yeah, Mr. Show and those types of things.
David Cross.
Oliver Platt. Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny. Isn't it? There's a lot of people in this one. It doesn't seem to be like directly a remake of the movie exactly, but it seems to be kind of the same idea. There's different plots.
Hey, speaking of lots of actors, did you see the preview for the
Keith Carradine is in this?
I just totally blanked out on her name. Karen Gillan.
Oh, yeah. Oculus.
Oculus. It was very confusing. I'm like, what? This is a VR headset? No.
Nope.
The horror movie. It actually looked kind of good.
Looks good because Karen Gillan's in it. Enough said.
I'm not a horror movie fan, so to me, it just looks like
it. Man. It genuinely looked like it would be kind of scary and confusing.
I'm not a big horror movie fan, but I'm a
Karen
Gillan
fan. It's a psychological
horror
thing, so it's not like, oh, entrails, holy shit.
Yeah, there are no any kind of centipedes.
I want to make a t-shirt now.
There are no centipedes in it.
Holy shit, entrails.
Yeah, none of that. Karen Gillan fan, I'll watch it. I'm good. I like horror movies if they're good. To be fair, I do like the crappy ones too, but they're just, you know, for different reasons, I guess.
And so. I didn't see, you know, where I think it might actually be good. I did not see Amy Pond in her.
Oh, you mean she can act?
Perhaps.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's like that movie that's going to come out that Matt Smith did where he shaved his head and he was all like some weird convict or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, it's still gonna be.
And I mean, I've tried to watch David Tennant stuff, and he is a good actor, but I still so much see Doctor Who in him. But
yeah,
as far as Karen Gillan goes, I didn't see a lot of Amy Pond because I was really kind of paying attention, I think, to the whole. This actually seems kind of unnerving. it involves a mirror, right? So right off the bat, if you have a horror movie and a mirror, shit, all you need is a little kid someplace, and then boom, you're done. You got. Don't do that. Your eye.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think of the best horror movies that I've seen, and they're like House of a Thousand Corpses. They're like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and stuff like that. I never got into the Grudge or whatever. Like, whatever.
I didn't see The Grudge. Yeah, I liked all those things like Hellraiser and Phantasm.
Yeah, those are good. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's this like weird balance between like cheesy, entertaining horror and like actual like, oh shit, that's crazy, fucked up horror. Like,
I want to see the new Carrie.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. I don't know how that stacks up, but it's, you know, it's stuff like that. It's like things that really messed with me were House of a Thousand Corpses, because I watched it by myself in the middle of the afternoon, and I was still like, ooh, let's get here. You know, like that.
Don't forget, this extends to video games too. Anybody who played the first BioShock, you're like,
yeah.
I'm not going into that bathroom. But you got to go find some stuff in the bathroom. All right, I'll go into the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like that.
But, if I ever go into a bathroom and all the stall doors are missing, I'm never. Nope.
And you know, and then there's like, you know, look, everybody's like, I'm not watching Human Centipede. Fuck all that shit. It's really kind of corny. The first one is, it's not. Oh,
it's
that
like
bad.
Tokyo Gore.
You know what you're gonna watch. You know what you're getting. Yeah, dude. Probably some of the most messed up horror movies, and they weren't even necessarily horror movies. Were some of those Japanese movies that I've seen. You know, they're just like, oh my god, they do stuff on those movies that are just like, you just cut off somebody's nipples. That's messed up. Like, it's just messed up stuff.
Cut off somebody's nipples and then little mouths emerge.
Yeah, yeah. Some of that stuff is just like, oh my god, like,
what am I watching? I can't be mortified by this. This is amazing.
Yeah, that, like, I'm trying to think of some of the names. I can't even think of any of them. There's one with the chick who gets her like limbs cut off, and she's got like machine guns and chainsaws put on. It's just like, that's just crazy stuff. You know, okay, so look, you got horror like trauma films, right? You got Toxic Avenger. That stuff is just ridiculous, over the top gore that's kind of humorous. You know, it's just
that Kill Bill thing, like, oh, here's a wound.
Kill Bill took a lot of the stuff from the Japanese movies, those Japanese horror movies, where it's just like just spraying blood out of a hose, like that was going on, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He definitely took a lot from that. And then you get like Human Centipede, which is like, oh, that's a messed up idea. I'm going to watch that. And the first one was, everybody knows what it's about. So you watch it and you're like, I knew what that was going to happen. This is exactly what I thought. The second one, though, like I said before, they really went a little bit further. And it's not about all the things you think it's about. It's about like the guy they cast to be the fucking weirdo in that movie is a fucking weirdo. He's hard to look at. He acts creepy. Everything about him is weird and creepy, and like all of his scenes are in black and white. The whole movie's in black and white, except for when they show shit and it's brown. Everything else is in black and white. They did a really good job with that movie. It's like, it's not just like brainless. It's like, oh,
that
this
be
is messed
great
up.
To scrub if you're into fecal sports and stuff. Yeah. Just scrub it and be like, oh, hey, there you go.
No, scrub. Yeah, no. They did a good job with the second one. I have to say, it was a good.
You're providing
movie.
A critique for Human Centipede 2.
I absolutely
the record
am.
Show.
Absolutely. I would recommend, if you like messed up horror movies, the second one is way better than the first one.
I'm asking you for opinions, and if I ever do find a taste for horror movies.
Well, you know, as a movie guy, I have to say, that's way, way weirder than the first one. And for not the obvious reasons, which is great. Like, they just, you know, the whole thing is, he's a new homie. Human Centipede. You know what that is. You know what's going to happen with that. But it's like all the other stuff that's like, oh, that's so creepy and weird. Like, they did a good job. They knew what they were doing. It's good. And they're making another one. So we'll see how that goes. I have a feeling they're venturing into like the kind of now it's become a parody of itself sort of thing. So we'll see. You know, whatever. Where are we going? What are we talking about? I don't know. Oh, hey.
I think we put birds on everything possible.
We did. Let's scare some conservatives and put Cosmos on television.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, science.
Yeah, what's up with that?
people are afraid of science. It's really funny. The whole thing is like, you can prove science. You can't prove anything else, but people want to ban Cosmos from TV.
Of course.
I don't understand this.
There was somewhere, I'm looking for it right now, but there was an article that explained what the problem is with how the whole science thing goes down. It is kind of nuanced, but it's true. Look, just realize everybody, no matter what your political leaning is, you pretty much have to stick to a narrative because there is no other place to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much guaranteeing that if you're on the more religious side of life, you probably have to stay there, because where are you going to go? The other side? It's like anybody who's pissed off at Obama, right? What, they're suddenly going to vote for Bush next time? Come on, no. So you just deal with the I'll vote for the same asshole kind of deal, right? So, you know, there's a lot of tradition there.
And on the other hand, it's just like it's television. Get over it. I mean, why aren't these conservatives all like, oh my God, Nova? They've been talking about the same stuff on Nova for 100 years. Like, this is on Fox. Is that why they're upset? Because it's on their Fox network. Is that what it is?
Well, maybe, and then also maybe the fact that it's really tough when you listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson talk. The guy's on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course he is.
He can clearly just say, here's how the argument's set up.
Yeah. Right, well, you know. So what happened?
Well, they did a segment in this last episode about how the eye came about.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's very complex.
That big Ferris wheel in London?
Yes, that. Neil deGrasse Tyson went into detail about how evolution caused the eye to form and survival and natural selection and such. It would take me too long to go into the details, so I won't. But then the conservatives said, well, what about God? God created eyes. And it's too complex for it to have happened the way that they said on the TV show. I'm like, well, maybe not.
All right. So it's all about that then.
Yes.
Fair enough. I've only seen a bit of it. And I guess evidently, just talking to you a little bit earlier, I clearly don't remember the original series as well as I thought I did. But it seemed fine.
The original series had something similar. They talked about these crabs that had what looked like Japanese art on their backs. Like, how could that have been random? So there are a lot of things that have been brought up in science that conservatives say, well, this couldn't happen this way. And
I was trying to find the thing about the dog where it's like explaining to help explain evolution. I think the example of like the dogs and dog breeds and how dog breeds and all of that evolution of just a simple breed of a dog happen. Oh, here we go. I'm reading from Raw's story. Cosmos makes that kind of cherry picking hard to pull off. Tyson knows that if you understand, for instance, how dog breeds came to be, you understand evolution and can't reasonably deny that over much longer periods of times. You could get away with way more genetic diversity through natural selection. I mean, well, I think reasonable people are kind of always going to be a little confuddled about this, being like, what's the problem? Is it just that there's two narratives, there's two sports teams, and you just have to vote for, the other team plays really well, but I have to vote, you know.
I mean, there's going to be that, but who knows? I mean, I don't know. People are upset about every damn thing anyway, so. I don't know. Hey, just this just in. Australian official says debris has been found in the Indian Ocean west of Australia. Could be from a missing Malaysian jetliner.
How official is that? Because there's been a lot of talking.
Let's put it this way. It's a little more official than the Courtney Love official. where she looked at a map and said, oil slick ? And plane ?
We need to figure out who got the closest.
What do you mean?
A lot of people. You had the airline pilot. You had Courtney Love.
Oh, my dog. I mean, we have to get the answer before we can decide who got closest.
Sure, sure.
I mean,
you have like a football pool.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look and see at the end.
The airline pilot, the Australian government, my dog, or Courtney Love.
Who? Yeah, well, who got it right?
They didn't do the magic manatee in Florida that picks the Super Bowl winner every year, so we'll see.
That's right.
Ask them.
Delray beat Florida. You're on Robot Underpants.
You're on the air.
That was
Poughkeepsie.
A horrible Larry King.
Poughkeepsie, you're on the air. Right. Where's the missing airliner? That's right. Yeah, who knows? And then there was something about like some other country that was like, "Oh yeah, we've got radar stuff about it. Well, you didn't ask us, so we didn't tell you." Like there was that whole thing today. I don't remember who it was, like if it was Vietnam or somebody was like, "Oh yeah, no, we've got some information. Did you need it?" Nobody said anything. Like, really? Really, guys? 10 days later? Nobody asked us. Okay. Well, do you have anything? Oh yeah, totally. So who knows? I mean, and there's this whole thing been going around lately of like, here's the simplest explanation, and this is probably it. And it was just like some shit caught on fire. They turned off some stuff to try to isolate the area where the things are on fire, and then the cabin filled with smoke, and the pilots passed out, and then they just flew into the ocean.
Hey, speaking of
lost
religious extremism, my favorite headline this week comes from The Onion.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's not from this week. It's I just saw it this week. A Buddhist extremist cell vows to unleash tranquility on the West.
No!
Run for it, Marty! They're coming at you with incense.
Great Scott.
I had a nose full of Nag Champa earlier today. I'm like, oh, God.
What?
I had to go to the store, and they moved the incense display. So
nose?
It's right at my nose level.
Oh.
And I'm leaning over to pay and swiping my credit card. I'm like, holy shit, I'm in a goth club. I immediately dropped all my quarters and picked them up again.
With your butt?
With great vigor.
Holy crap. All right. Well, did we hit everything?
I think we did.
I think we're good. What else is going on? What kind of shows you do? Hey, what kind of shows you guest starring on, Mr. Gaines?
I guest starred on Anxiety Tea Party with Kathy Hopkins this week.
Did you have the Muppets come in and say, 2 minutes to showtime, Mr. Gaines? At the beginning? Oh.
I don't get that, but okay.
Well, because every time somebody's a guest star on the Muppets, that's what happened.
Oh, I haven't watched that in a long time.
Right. I just picture that for tomorrow's Warcast. 2 minutes to showtime, Mr. Hellscream.
We need more Muppets in here. I'll call Lauren Feldman.
It was a lot of fun. And the shows that Eric and I do are... the show that Eric and I do, or the Warcast we do on Thursdays, and I do this weekend track with Daryl the Trek Nerd on Tuesdays.
That's it? Two shows?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Keep it light. Keep it trim.
That's good. I do this show. I want to do another show. I want to be a guest star on shows. I think I want to start doing that. I'm going to start guesting on shows. I'm going to call up Brad Chesnori. Chesnor, whatever his name is. I'm just going to be a regular.
A lot of guests.
I'll be a regular on that show. Oh, God. All right. That's it then, I guess, right? Anybody got anything else?
No, I'm getting more coffee because it's late and that's what I do.
Okay. Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
It's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.